We'll hear more about that throughout the day, no doubt. Let's move to the case of Anthony Lyons, the Dublin man convicted of the sexual assault of a woman in October 2010. At his trial in July 2012, he pleaded not guilty, but was convicted and sentenced to 6 years, but with 5.5 suspended. Today, the Court of Criminal Appeal delivered its decision. In other words, he will have to go back to prison for another 18 months. They ruled that the sentence should have been 6 years with 4 suspended. Anthony Lyons has already served 6 months. He'll now have to serve another year and a half. Our crime correspondent, Paul Reynolds, has the victim's reaction statement. Paul, what can you tell us?
Well, yes, we got this in the last hour, Richard, from the victim. She says that the appeal has been extremely prolonged and painful, and she criticised the length of time it has taken. She says no victim should have to endure such a length of court proceedings. The 3.5 years have been extremely traumatic for both my family and me, and I hope we can move on with our lives. She also thanks a number of people, including the Gardaí, the Rape Crisis Centre and the DPP for the appeal, but she also specifically mentions the two men who, as she says, saved me on the night of the attack before the Gardaí arrived, one of whom disturbed Anthony Lyons during the attack, forcing him to flee.
Paul, thanks for that. I'm joined on the line, on the other line, by Caroline Cunahan, who's legal director with the Rape Crisis Centre. Caroline, what's your reaction to this?
Well, I really, really hear what the complainant has said. The poor victim in this case has just said about the length of time that it has taken for this to be resolved, and that echoes our own daily experience with our clients, and it echoes the findings of our own research. Such a long delay should never happen in such a case, that somebody should have to not only go through the ordeal of a not guilty plea and working themselves up to that, several different sentencing hearings in this case. Then there was a sentence which, as we know, the DPP appealed in the grounds that it was unduly lenient, and then there was a delay of over 2 years before the matter could finally be resolved. I do appreciate that one of the judges in the Court of Criminal Appeal did fall ill. Nobody can help that. But nevertheless, the system should ensure that such an appeal should be heard much, much earlier.
If we go
That's
back,
my first thought.
Right. You've others. But if you go back to... I'll get back to you on those. If just on a point of information, people might be a little dumbfounded by the original decision to sentence to 6 years, but with 5.5 suspended. On what basis might 5.5 years be suspended?
Well, the decision of the Court of Criminal Appeal this morning, the judgment indicates that the totality of the mitigating factors were given too much weight in the sentencing by the original trial judge. And they go into detail on, as you can imagine, over, what am I looking at, something like 30 pages. Certainly, the Court of Criminal Appeal is also very clear that the trial judge did not intend that the original 75,000 awarded as compensation should be regarded as some kind of trade-off for a more lenient sentence. That was not by any means his intention. Nevertheless, I'm very glad that the Court of Criminal Appeal has now given us some clear, much clearer guidance on where compensation should come in on sentencing. And in essence, they've indicated that unless there's a very special hardship to the defendant, that the really compensation should not play any or any significant role in sentencing
In terms of other mitigating circumstances, are there hard and fast rules here, or is it down to the judge to make a value judgment?
There are not hard and fast rules, but there are general principles, and we look for guidance on sentencing to cases which have gone before, cases like this one, which will, I think, really help on Section 6 compensation in criminal cases. Now, what we don't have here, of course, is any set of sentencing guidelines which would be followed by all judges, and of course they would have to be flexible enough to allow for justice to be done in a particular case. They couldn't take discretion away from a sentencing judge to do justice, but certainly we've advocated for years for sentencing guidelines in rape and sexual assault cases, and we would love to see that.
That's not what you're seeing. Obviously, as you said, there has to be some flexibility, but are you seeing huge variation that in some cases is just inexplicable?
Well, in some cases, we do see cases, particularly in the circuit court, not so much in the Central Criminal Court, where there is a huge variation in sentencing. And yes, it does seem inexplicable, quite frankly. Yes, that does happen. I personally feel it's probably happening now less often. I think there's more awareness that there's the new ISIS sentencing research that's been done. There's judges have more access to what other judges are doing on sentencing. It's probably less so than before, but I still think more could be done in generating, in consultation with the judiciary, proper sentencing guidelines which would not be too restrictive, but would give a measure of consistency and predictability, and give people a starting place and also an idea of what sort of time or punishment or indeed other order should be made in a particular case,
Caroline,
or might be made in a particular case.
Caroline, thanks very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon. Caroline Cunahan, Legal Director of the Rape Crisis Centre. Two former directors of